Chapter 17. A Dead Empire. Revelations. Genesis. Ingerfell gestured at the planet with a crooked claw. They called it Melisenth. It was one of the last to feel the Eye's spreading influence.
Auspex confirms no life readings, even down to the bacterial level,
Captain Salamore's voice rasped over the vox.
She really needed a scan to see that,
Torgal asked. Below them was the ghost of a world, a globe of black oceans and grey landscapes, inexpertly guarded by thin cloud hazes. Even in orbit among Melisenth, the ship was buffeted by the warp winds outside, while the observation dome endured the liquid, a tidal press of human faces and figures bursting against the reinforced glass. Each one splashed over the shielding with oil-on-water incandescence, flowing back into the maelstrom as soon as it destroyed itself. After a while, Argyltal started to see the same faces reappear. They seemed to be reforming out there in the winds and hurling themselves at the ship over and over again.
"Are they souls?" he asked aloud.
"It is primordial matter. In the realm of flesh and blood, it manifests as psychic energy. Your thoughts give it shape. You see human souls, but it is so much more. Elder souls, the flesh of the Neverborn that humanity once named demon kind. Raw psychic currents, possibility incarnate, when the mind shapes reality.
I want to walk the surface of that world.
You will die.
Argyltal rounded on the creature, anger marring his unscarred features.
Then why drag us here? What is the purpose of this journey if we cannot leave the ship? To stare at dead worlds from behind our Gellerfield? To listen to the shrieking of lost souls?
Ingerfell slithered closer to the gathered word-bearers. The Blackwood staff, once carried by the maiden who sacrificed herself to bring the demon into being, tapped on the decking like an old man's walking cane.
Such things I have to show you.
It gestured two gnarled claws at the world below.
There is no lesson in Melisenth as it is. You must see Melisenth as it was. Close your eyes. Hear the storm outside. Listen to the tide breaking against your vessel's skin. Melisenth is but one world floating in the sea of souls. One amongst millions. Let me show it to you.
And then, no more than a heartbeat later,
open your eyes, Argyltal.
He'd always treasured sunrise. This one, an ochreous orb painting fierce light over a city of spires and minarets, was one to remember. Even with pain tolerance and resistance to light saturation written into his genetic code, the rising sun was bright enough to make his eyes ache. And that was beautiful too, for it had never happened before. Ingerfell was nowhere to be seen. They stood on a cliff's edge above an alien city turned golden by the dawn. Argyltal turned to see his brothers, Zaphen watching the Xenos colony, Malnor and Torgal with him, Daggertal staring up into the blue sky.
This was Melisenth,
came the creature's burbling voice in his mind.
See the city, made of bone and gemstones. See the spires, too delicate for mortal physics to support them, standing only because of Eldar witchcraft. Now, see the fall.
In the sky above, the clouds raced in a cyclical dance, day and night flashing past in a blur of flickering grey. Tendrils of violet clawed across the heavens, thickening, linking, coiling, staining the air with red mist. Sweat broke out on Argyltal's face and neck in the savage heat. It warmed even the aqueous moisture that lubricated his eyes. As he watched, the city below began to tumble, its spires and walkways falling to shatter on the ground, crushing crowds of slender alien figures and demolishing lesser buildings beneath.
Their sorceries are fading. This is on the edge of the Great Eye. The destruction took days to unfold on these lesser colonies. At the core of their empire, all life was ended in mere moments.
Argyltal could hear the city dying, the sounds of thunder, sorrow and lamentation carried up to him on the wind.
Aliens! Zaphon smiled at the toppling towers. May they all burn, soulless and forgotten.
None of the others disagreed. Why did this happen? Asked Argyltal.
The Eldar were close to seeing the truth of the universe. Their civilization spanned the galaxy, evolving for millennia under the guidance and worship of their gods. And then, at the last step, they faltered.
How?
Look to the sky.
The storm clouds gathered in a threatening spiral, darkening the land to every horizon. From the very first raindrops, hot on the skin and rich in their metallic reek, it was clear what was in store for the city below. With a single peal of thunder, loud enough to vibrate the air itself, the blackened clouds ground together and signaled the opening of the heavens. Sheets of scarlet rained from the sky, showering the broken city in blood so thick it stained the bone structures that still remained standing. Zaphon closed his eyes, lifting his face to the downpour.
This is not human blood. It's too sweet.
Argyltal wiped his face clear of the raining gore. In the city below, creatures were melting from the shadows of fallen monuments, rising from the lakes of blood that were forming in the streets. They staggered and sprinted, each one uneven and unnatural in its own half-formed way. Some crawled on a multitude of boneless limbs. Others wailed as they dashed on spindly legs, reaching out with curling claws.
My kin taking physical form. They hunt souls and flesh and blood and bone.
Why is this happening?
The malformed beasts ran in packs, dragging down any of the slender, weeping survivors they found. The sight left him cold. Genocide should be a purification, and there was nothing of purity in this insane unleashing of unknowable powers.
Answer me,
Argyltal said softly. No answer came beyond the blood running down his cheeks and over his lips. He could smell nothing else, taste nothing else, beyond the sanguine rain. New towers rose from the tumbling city below, slender spires formed from pulsing walls of still-living flesh, decorated by voiceless faces and flayed arms stretching from the architecture. The rising towers reached for the panicking Eldar in the streets, using their lives as raw material, their alien flesh as living mortar.
Watch them die. You would die the same way.
I told you to answer me, said the Word-Bearer.
Watch and learn, Word-Bearer.
We have records of the Elder and their histories.
He spat the foul blood that kept running under his tongue.
They speak of the Fall, when decadence and sin bred corruption throughout their culture. A spiritual cataclysm annihilated them centuries ago. That devastation is this? This? Divine wrath?
This is their judgment. In their ignorance, they see only the death of an empire as countless worlds drown in blood and fire. In this moment of ascension, the Eldar choose terror over power and damn their kingdom to ashes because the primordial truth frightens them all. They have given birth to a god of pleasure and promise, yet they feel no joy.
Enough!
Argyltal threw back his head and drew breath into his three lungs. The storm intensified, its tortured skies bleeding onto the world below.
Answer me!
He screamed at the sky.
This is the fall they speak of in whispered tones. The Eldar were blind. They could have lived in harmonic union with the powers, as humanity must soon learn themselves. Instead, they are dying, unable to accept the primordial truth. They are being destroyed by it. You ask why? Can you not see why? This is not how empires die, Wordbearer. This is how gods are born. The Eldar faith has given the galaxy a new deity. She who thirsts. Slaaneth. It has 1,000 names. These are its first moments of life, and it wakes to find its own worshippers are abandoning it out of ignorance and fear. This endless storm, this eye of terror, is the echo of its birth cries.
I've seen enough. Argyll-Tarl watched the city below, now silent, flooded, reaped clean of all life. Blood of the gods, I've seen enough.
Then open your eyes.
Ingerfell was watching them, its mismatched eyes unblinking as they reflected the sick light from beyond the dome. The stench of blood lingered in Argyll-Tarl's nostrils, despite the warrior's pristine armor and clean skin.
That was unpleasant, said Torgal.
Sir, Daggertarl reached for Argyll-Tarl's shoulder guard. I think we should leave this place.
It was Zaphon, not the demon, that quelled such discussion.
You overstep your authority, Sergeant. We will not flee from the truths we travelled so far to find.
Argyll-Tarl ignored their bickering. His vox network was alive with squads checking in, retinal runes flickering as each sergeant linked to him.
Sir, we just saw...
Captain, there was a voice and a vision. This is Vadok's squad reporting.
The word-bearer turned to the demon.
Every one of my warriors on the ship saw what we saw.
They hear my voice the same as you. That is why they are here, to bear witness, to learn. The Eldar failed, and the price paid for their sin was slow extinction. Humanity must not follow the same path. Mankind must accept the primordial truth.
We cannot carry this message back to the Imperium, said Argyll-Tarl. Of course we can,
Zaphon narrowed his eyes.
We can and we will, because we must. This is humanity's enlightenment.
You came here seeking to learn if your homeworld's old ways were true, and now you know they were.
This is a truth too ugly to be embraced by the Imperium.
The captain watched the dead world below.
You, creature, know nothing of what you speak. But, brother, do you expect us to sail into orbit around Terra and right into the Emperor's welcoming embrace?
The answers we carry home will make a lie of the Imperial truth.
All human emotion takes form as psychic force. Not only is the Emperor's godless vision a lie, it must be crushed in favor of allying with demons and spirits.
Argyll-Tarl shook his head.
It will be civil war, Zaphon. The Imperium will tear itself apart.
The chaplain gave a threatening growl.
This is why we came. The truth is all that matters. You speak as though you expected the Primarch to be proved wrong, and panic now he was shown to be right.
But the captain has a point, said Daggertarl. We will not be showered with medals for bringing home the truth that hell is a real place.
They all turned as the demon laughed in their minds.
You have seen nothing yet, but you already judge what is best for your species.
What more is there to see? Asked Argyll-Tarl.
Ingerfell beckoned with its gnarled fingers.
Close your eyes.
No,
the captain took a calming breath.
I'm finished with blind indulgence. Tell me what you wish to show us.
I will show you how your Primarch was born. I will show you why the Cadians called him the favored son of the Four. The Emperor is not his only father.
Argyll-Tarl glanced at the others, seeing their eyes already closed, the mention of their father enough to tempt them into obedience. He spoke into the vox, alerting the other squads.
Be ready, all of you, for what we see may be a deception.
You have such little faith, Argeltal.
The word-bearer closed his eyes again. The air's touch was ice against his skin, and the first thing Argeltal's returning vision offered was his own breath misting before him. The smell here was neither the sanguine richness of the alien world, nor the musky odour of oxygen filtered through a vessel's recycling scrubbers. A certain sharpness hung in the air, the chemical tang of volatile machinery and burning glass. Argeltal looked around the laboratory, surrounded on all sides by live generators, cluttered tables, and humans at work in pressurized environment suits, some white, some bright yellow, and marked by radiological sigils. Frost rimed their faceplates, scuffing away as powder when brushed off by gloved hands. The word-bearer had been in scarce few laboratories in the many decades of his existence, so his frame of reference was limited. Still, he could form a fair estimation that a facility this size would only be required for the most vital or visionary work. The walls were lost behind dense cabling and clanking generators. The technicians at work, numbered in the hundreds, spread around tables, platforms and desks. One passed Argeltal, the figure's environmental hazard suit rustling as it brushed the word-bearer's battle armour. The suit's face guard stole any hope of seeing the wearer's face. Either way, the technician ignored the Astartes completely. Argeltal reached for the figure.
Don't.
He hesitated, grey fingers curling back. The tiny servos in his armor's knuckles whirred as he pulled away from the technician's shoulder.
Be careful, Argeltal. These souls remain blind to you as long as you do not interfere with their work. And if I did?
He asked quietly.
Then one of the most powerful psychic forces in the history of life would be alerted to you and would kill you where you stand. You are within the anathema's innermost sanctum. Here it breeds its spawn.
The anathema, Argeltal repeated, looking around the colossal facility. The other word-bearers walked to his side, none of them reaching for weapons just yet.
The anathema, the creature you know as the God Emperor.
Zaphon exhaled misty curls of vapour. This is Terra, the Emperor's gene laboratories.
Yes. Many years before the anathema's crusade to reclaim the stars, here, with the full clarity of its emotionless inhumanity, it has finished shaping its 20 children.
The chaplain crossed to a table, where vials of blood span in a centrifuge, separating into layers within each glass vial.
If this is a vision of the past, how could the Emperor destroy us here?
You are protected for now, Zaphon. That is all that matters. This is what transpires on Terra, as the Elder Empire burns with soul fire. The anathema senses it will soon be time to begin his great crusade.
The word-bearers moved along the rows of tables, their course taking them closer to the central platform standing above the laboratory. A column of black and silver machinery stood upon the decking there, ringed by a wide walkway. Argeltal climbed the stairs first, his boots echoing on the metal, going unheard by the dozens of technicians nearby. Several passed him, paying no heed to anything beyond the digital streams on their frostbitten data slates and the sine wave readings on their handheld Auspex readers. Argeltal walked across the platform around the amniotic pods coupled to the main column, bound there by dense masses of wires, chains, cables, and industrial clamps. The generators built into the column of metal made the same angry thrum as Astartes' back-mounted power packs, and that little detail brought a smile to the captain's face.
The womb of the Primarchs. Here, the anathema's sons gestate in their cold cradles.
Argeltal approached the closest pod. Its surface was unpainted grey iron, smooth in the few places where it wasn't scabbed by machinery sockets and connection ports. Etched clearly onto its front plating in silver lettering was the Gothic numeral 13. Beneath the silver plate, an inscription was scratched into the metal in tiny, meticulous handwriting. The exact meaning of the words escaped Argeltal. It seemed a long and complicated prayer, beseeching outside forces for blessings and strength. But the fact he could read them was mystery enough.
"This is called Chisian," he said aloud.
"It is, and it is not."
"I can read it."
"The tongue you named Colchisian is a fragment of a primordial language. Colchisian, Cadian, these tongues were seeded onto your worlds in readiness for the coming age. The Emperor's golden pets could not read those inscriptions, for they do not carry Lorgar's blood in their veins. All of this was planned eons ago."
"And the Cadians?"
"Their world was touched as Colchis was touched. Seeds planted in abundance, all to flower in this moment."
Argeltal approached the pod marked 13. A glass screen at eye level showed nothing but the milky fluid within. And then, movement.
"Go no closer."
The briefest shadow of something stirred inside the artificial womb.
"Stay back."
The demon's voice was edged now, sharpened by concern. Argeltal stepped closer. A child slumbered within the gestation pod, curled up in fetal helplessness, its eyes closed. It turned slowly in the amniotic milk, half-formed limbs moving in somnolent repose.
"Stay back, word-bearer. I sense your rising wrath. Do not assume I am the only one who is capable of feeling it. Strong emotion will also alert the anathema."
Argeltal leaned closer to the pod, his fingertips brushed frost from its surface.
"Gilliman," he whispered.
The child slept on. Zaphen moved away from the others, coming to the pod etched with 11. Rather than peer into its depths, he looked over his shoulder at Argeltal.
"The 11th Primarch sleeps within this pod. Still innocent, still pure.
I ache to end this now," he confessed.
Malnor chuckled from behind the chaplain.
"It would save us a lot of effort, wouldn't it?"
"And it would spare Aurelian from heartbreak."
Zaphen traced his fingertips over the designating numeral.
"I remember the devastation that racked him after losing his 2nd and 11th brothers."
Argeltal still hadn't left Gilliman's pod.
"We do not know for certain if our actions here would change the future."
"Are some chances not worth taking?" asked the chaplain.
"Some are. This one is not. But the 11th Legion is expunged from Imperial record for good reason, as is the 2nd. I'm not saying I don't feel temptation creeping over me, brother. A single sword thrust piercing that pod and we'd unwrite a shameful future."
Dagotar cleared his throat.
"And deny the Ultramarines a significant boost in recruitment numbers."
Zaphen regarded him with emotionless eyes, seeming to weigh the merit of such a thing.
"What?"
Dagotar asked the others.
"You were thinking it too. It's no secret."
"Those are just rumours," Torgal grunted.
The assault sergeant didn't sound particularly certain.
"Perhaps. Perhaps not.
The 13th definitely swelled to eclipse all the other legions around the time the 2nd and 11th were forgotten by Imperial archives."
"Enough of this insipid conjecture,"
came the disembodied voice again. Argeltal looked below the platform where the scientists labored at their stations. Most were dealing with blood work or working on biopsies of pale flesh. He recognized the extracted organs immediately.
"Why are these men and women experimenting on Astarte's gene seed?" he asked.
The other word-bearers followed his gaze.
"They are not experimenting on it. They are inventing it."
Argeltal watched them work as Ingathel's voice hissed on. He saw several of the workers nearby slicing open the pale organs with silver scalpels. Each of them bore the numeral 1 on the back of their environment suits.
"Your emperor has conquered his own world with the proto-Astartes created in far inferior conditions. Now he breeds the Primarchs, and in their shadow he breeds the warriors he needs to lead the great crusade.
He watched them work, but the sight of his genetic genesis left his skin crawling.
These are the prototypical organs that will become the gene seed for the first true Astartes. You know them as...
The Dark Angels, said Argyll-Tal. The First Legion.
Below him, the biotechnicians scalpeled through malformed organs, threaded veins, analyzed with microscopes, and took tissue samples for further testing. The progenoid glands implanted in his own throat and chest throbbed with sympathetic ache. He lifted a hand to rub at the sore spot on the side of his neck, where the organ hidden beneath the skin did its silent work, storing his genetic coding until the moment of his death, whereupon it would be harvested and implanted within another child. The boy would, in turn, grow to become a word-bearer. No longer human, no longer Homo sapiens, but Homo Astartes.
It will be many Terran years before the organs below are ready for implantation in human youths. This is early in the process. Most of the flaws in gene seed structure will be written out in the course of the coming decades.
The captain didn't like the creature's tone.
Most?
Most. Not all.
The Thousand Sons, said Zaphon. Their genetic code was misaligned. The Legion was afflicted by mutation and psychic instability.
They are not alone in their flaws. The unwinding years will bring these biological errors to light. Gene seed degeneration, resulting in organ failure, stealing the ability to salivate venom, intolerance to certain radiation, will alter a warrior's skin and bones.
The Imperial Fists, said Malnor, and the Salamanders.
But what of us?
Daggertal asked. There was a pause as Ingathel whisper laughed behind their eyes.
What of you?
Will we suffer from those impurities?
Answer him, said Argyll-Tal. He asks what we all wish to know.
The code written into your bodies is purer than most. You will suffer no special degeneration and endure no unique flaws.
But there is something, he said. I hear it in your voice.
No Astartes is as loyal to their Primarch as the 17th are to Lorgar. No Imperial warrior believes in their father's righteousness with as much faith and ardent devotion.
Argyll-Tal swallowed. It felt cold and tasted sour.
Our loyalty is bred into our blood.
No. You are sentient creatures with free will. This is no more than a minor divergence in an otherwise flawless code. Your gene seed enhances the chemicals in your brain tissue. It gives you focus. It grants you unbreakable loyalty to your cause and to Lorgar Aurelian.
I do not like the turn this revelation is taking, the captain confessed. Nor I, admitted Torgal.
The surprise you feel is false, Argyll-Tal. You have seen this before, reflected in the eyes of your brother legions. Think of the compliance of Cassius when the pale sons of Korax watched you with distaste, arguing against your savage purge of the heathen population. The Thousand Sons at Antiolochus, the Lunar Wolves at Davin, the Ultramarines at Sion. All your brothers have watched you and hated you for your unquestioning, focused wrath.
He moved back to Gilliman's pod, examining it rather than paying attention to the technicians below.
I will speak of this no further.
It is not a flaw to believe, word-bearer. There is nothing purer.
Argyll-Tal paid the demon's words no mind. Something else had caught his attention, and wouldn't let go.
Blood of the... Look at this.
The captain crouched by the lower half of Gilliman's coffin womb. A bulky generator box was half-meshed with the main machinery behind the gestation pod. Coolant feeds quivered as they pumped fluid, and the details that could be made out through gaps in the armoured covering showed the generator's internal compartments were filled with bubbling red liquid. Dagotar looked over Argyltal's shoulder.
Is that blood?
The captain gave Dagotar a withering look.
What?
The sergeant asked.
It's hemolubricant for a machine spirit. These secondary generators are fastened behind each pod. And look, they run along the spinal columns of these structures up the tower.
Dagotar and the others looked around.
So?
So, where have you seen power generators of similar design before? What engine requires a machine spirit of this complexity to function?
Oh,
the sergeant said.
Oh!
The word-bearers looked up at the central column, juddering and humming with its machine parts and multiple power supplies.
At last. Yes.
This is more than an incubation tower, said Zaphon.
You are so close now.
Argyltar looked at the pods each in turn, and the insanely complex array of machinery coupling them to the central column.
Yes, yes. Witness the truth.
This is a generator.
His voice softened in disbelief.
For a Geller field.
Zaphon circled the walkway, his clanging boot steps unheard by the horde of technicians working away. Argyltal watched his chaplain moving around the pods, a slow suspicion creeping over the back of his neck. Both warriors were unhelmed, and thin sheens of icy sweat glistened on their faces.
The most powerful Geller field in existence,
Argyltal gestured to the machinery.
The generators on board our vessels, linked with the navigators, they are a shadow of what we're seeing here.
You do not truly comprehend the effect you name Geller field. It is more than a kinetic shield against warp energy. The warp itself is the sea of souls. Your fields repel raw psychic force. They are a bulwark against the claws of the Neverborn.
The question we must ask ourselves,
Zaphon spoke as he stroked the surface of the pod marked 17,
is why these incubators are shielded against...
Say it,
Zaphon smiled.
Against demons.
Torgal joined the chaplain before Lorgar's pod. He stared inside at the slumbering infant for some time.
I believe I know. These children are almost grown to the point of birth. Demon? Spirit?
I am here.
Torgar looked acutely uncomfortable interacting with a disembodied voice.
The legions tell the tale of the Emperor's 20 sons being cast into the heavens by some great tragedy, some flaw in their creation process.
You have been raised with tales of the Primarchs that lead your legions, but you have been fed centuries of lies. In a matter of moments, you will witness the truth. The anathema dealt with the powers of the warp long before he left Earth on the Great Crusade. The anathema desired mighty sons, and the gods granted him the law to forge them with a union of divine genetics and psychic sorcery. He came to my masters, hungry for answers, beseeching the gods for power. With the law they gave him, he shaped his 20 sons. But treacheries have occurred. Oaths sworn in blood and paid in soul have been broken. The anathema now refuses to show humanity the primordial truth, and the gods of the warp grow wrathful. The anathema is keeping its 20 Primarch sons and paying no price to the powers that gifted him with the knowledge to shape them.
Zaphon gripped the handrail to keep from going to his knees.
Our father, all of our fathers, are the spawn of ancient blood rituals and forbidden science.
Argyltal couldn't keep from laughing.
The Emperor that denies all forms of divinity shaped his own sons with the blessings of forgotten gods. Prayers and sorcery are written upon their gestation pods. This is the most glorious madness.
Be ready. The reckoning comes. The powers will reach into the material realm to reclaim the sons they helped breed.
Argeltar looked at the pods through a smile that wouldn't fade. This Geller field, it fails, doesn't it?
It will fail in exactly 37 beats of your heart, Argeltar.
And the Primarchs are seized, taken by your masters in the warp. That's the accident that casts them across the galaxy.
The warp gods are the Primarchs' rightful fathers. This is not to spite your Emperor. It is nothing but divine justice. And as these perfect children travel through the stars, they will grow. This is the first step in the gods' plans to save mankind.
And Aurelian?
Is the most important one of all. Lorgar's incubation pod will be carried to Colchis to walk the first steps to enlightening humanity of the primordial truth and the gods behind the stars. Without the gods, humanity will die piece by piece under the predation of the aliens that still lay claim to much of the galaxy. Those that remain will die as the Eldar died, in agony, unable to see the primordial truth before their very eyes. This is fate. It is written in the stars. Lorgar knows that humanity needs divinity. It is what shaped his life and legion. It is why he was chosen as the favored son.
Zaphon closed his eyes, murmuring a litany from the word.
Faith raises us above the soulless and the damned. It is the soul's fuel and the driving force behind millennia of mankind's survival. We are hollow without it.
Argeltar drew his weapons. The swords of red iron slid free from their scabbards with twin hisses.
Yes. Yes.
Both blades sparked into electrical life as the captain pulled the handle triggers. Zaphon regarded him with hooded eyes.
Do it, the chaplain said. Let it begin.
Argeltar whirled the blades in slow, arcing loops, their crackling power fields growing more intense, the blades emanating ozone mist as they burned and rasped through the frozen air.
Aurelian,
whispered Malnor.
For Lorgar.
For the truth, Torgal said. Do it and we will carry these answers back to the Imperium.
Argeltar looked at Dagotal, the youngest of his sergeants, only recently promoted before the Legion's humiliation. The Outrider Commander's eyes were distant.
I am weary of being lied to by the Emperor, brother. I'm so tired of being ashamed when what we believe is the truth.
Dagotal nodded, meeting his captain's eyes at last.
Do it!
Three.
He stepped forward, staring at a cluster of vein-like cables, twitching as they channeled artificial blood around the semi-organic tower machine.
Two.
Argeltar span the swords, leaving blurred trails of lightning in their wake.
One.
The blades chopped down, crashing through steel, iron, rubber, copper, bronze, and vat-grown blood. Both swords exploded in his hands, their blades shattering like smashed glass and decorating his bare face with bloody cuts. And then, for one horrific, familiar moment, Argeltar saw nothing but burning, psychic gold.